Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And once again, that's the sound of rock cracking. And the world seems to be cracking apart. We're right here in the month of August, and you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. We're ready to sing a new song. How about you? This world seems to be crumbling apart. American politics seem to be strained. We need a fresh voice of reason. That's when you come to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And we have got two very special interviews today. We're going to get on with the show very quickly. First, let me tell you, Keith Davies, he works with Waleed Shubat. We've had Waleed's son, Theodore, on a couple years ago to let us know about what was going on in Syria. And he was telling us exactly what would happen. And you can go back and listen to the archives with Theodore Shubat. And a sister organization, Rescuing Christians, is going into motion to help the Christians and the Yazidis there in northern Iraq, where the Kurds are trying to fight and help protect them. But you have seen the news and you've seen what's going on. What about the atrocities? We're going to talk to Keith Davies in just a few minutes. And what you need to know is he's going to tell us something in his interview about Turkey and the CIA and ISIS. Do you draw and connect the dots? I don't know. You better listen to this interview and find out, because you're not going to hear it anywhere else. But you'll hear it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with this exclusive interview with Keith Davies. Now, I've got something else to come in and tell you about. Is we last week got a lot of response. I did something really never done before. I let one of my friends speak their heart about why they like President Barack Obama, an African-American pastor. Well respected. He is very knowledgeable and he loves Barack Obama. You go back and listen to last week's show. We need to hear and we need to listen to the voice of America. We're going to listen here and we are going to make everyone understand that we don't mind listening. We want the best solutions. I still believe the conservative way is the best way to get America going. And that's why you're listening to us. But we have to listen to our brothers and sisters and see what we can do in America. So a few more minutes of the interview we started last week with Bishop Clarence Parks. Go back and listen to an interview last week if you have not listened to it. Very special person who will help enlighten us on how many people in America feel and what we need to do to make us understand how it's going to take to convince others in America the conservative policies are what this country needs to get us going. So before we get started with today's show, let me just give you a quick election update. Lamar Alexander, incumbent senator, United States senator, won the Republican primary in Tennessee, and Pat Roberts, Republican senator, incumbent, won his primary in Kansas. The Tea Party really doesn't have any more candidates. They've run out of candidates trying to get somebody new in the Senate to go along with Ted Cruz. But we know we have an America that is growing and searching and seeking. And again, where is the voice that can bring people together? I'm telling you, listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now. I want you to hear the voice of someone who's working hard to save people in a desperate, war-torn, weary region. Keith Davies, welcome to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Tell us about your organization.
Our organization is called Forum for Middle East Understanding. We have two divisions. One of them is Rescue Christians.
And Keith, why did you start Rescuing Christians?
We started Rescue Christians about 4 years ago when we found out that nobody was doing this type of work. And how that happened was a family came to us through some connections and requested help for a blasphemy, false blasphemy law that was happening in Pakistan, where people were being falsely accused of blasphemy against Islam.
Right.
So what we did, we started to call all the different organizations in the United States that we thought would be involved in helping Christians in this situation. And to our shock and horror, not one organization had any program to rescue anybody in any type of situation at all.
So what did you do then, Keith?
Oh my. So what we did was I spoke to my partner, Walid Chubat, and he and I decided that we would take on this issue and start an organization to actually rescue people. And since in the last 4 years, we've saved between 2,000 and 3,000 people.
Wow. Well, that's what I didn't know you would... You were partners with Walid, and I guess we've had Theodore on our show before in the past also. His son.
Right, yeah. It's a sister organization to Walid Chubat.
Okay.
I founded Walid Chubat itself.
Well, great. Well, I'm glad to know that. And the name of the organization, again, say that one more time for our listeners.
RescueChristians.org is our website. Rescue Christians is our division that rescues Christians in Pakistan. And we're just underway in a major rescue of Iraqi Christians. We hope to save anywhere between 2 and 100,000. We don't know yet. It all depends how much it costs. And the more money we can raise, the more people we can save.
And if people
if
people want to help out in your drive to help save Christians in Iraq, they can give to they can go to your website and there's a place to give. There on your website?
Correct. On RescueChristians.org, there's three ways you can help us in terms of the way to do it. We have a credit card, a standard credit card, the PayPal, and they can also, on the RescueChristians.org, on the contact page, there was our full address. You can mail a check as well. And more people are finding out about the work, and obviously what's going on in the rest of the world. They're now seeing that there's a definite need for us. Before, now, the persecution of Christians was really under the table. No one was really talking about it very much in the mainstream media. But obviously what's happening in ISIS and what's happening in Iraq, it's now come to the fore of what we're really dealing with here with this Islamic religion, the religion of peace, so-called religion of peace.
Well, Keith, one of the things that's important to me, and I want our audience to understand, and of course I've seen a lot of the photographs and videos that was on your website or the Shubat website.
Correct.
And some people are saying, are these authentic? And how do you get those photographs? So we tell our listeners about the where they can believe
well,
the photographs are for real.
Well, we do a lot of research on the internet, and especially on the Arabic-speaking websites.
Mm-hmm.
Walid Chubat knows the reliable sources of news in the Middle East, and he also knows the sources that are not so reliable. But, you know, it's, a picture tells 1,000 words.
Right.
Right. For example, Walid was watching Al Jazeera there, back in April, I think it was, and he discovered this former terrorist, this real terrorist, right, that escaped from what's called a human abattoir is the best way to describe it, a slaughterhouse.
Mm-hmm.
But they were slaughtering human beings, not cattle. And Walid nearly couldn't believe it. It was like so unbelievable. The stories that he was telling, you know, especially if you go back to the Holocaust, I mean, most people
right.
believe that they were murdering people by the thousands, by the tens of thousands, by the millions. People just couldn't fathom it. They couldn't believe it. So after he couldn't comprehend it, Walid went on the website, or he went on the internet, and he was able to find, I think, 3 or 4 separate videos that corroborated 100%
wow.
of what this guy was saying, and just showing exactly what he was talking about. Cutting people's heads off, they were slowly, sometimes with a knife, right, of turning them upside down, and disemboweling them, and processing them like meat.
Right.
Unbelievable.
You know,
these were Shia Muslims, Christians. We don't know exactly who they were doing it to, but this was all done by ISIS.
And this was happening in Syria at the time, is that correct?
That's correct. This is happening in Syria, and now what you're seeing going on in Iraq, you know, it's not far-fetched with the murder, the rape, the crucifixions, the beheadings, the hangings, right? Not just of men, but of women and girls, selling girls into slavery, marking them off in their nude. It's just unbelievable what's going on. And they're corroborating the story with dozens of eyewitnesses. This is not something that we're making up. This is actually happening. Because if it wasn't happening, why did a million Christians and Yazidis flee from ISIS, right, and run away like they did, just dropping everything, leaving their homes behind, just get out before these guys, because they knew from what was happening, from, you know, the word spreads, what was happening, they just left, and we're now trying to help these people. We know in Erbil, which is the capital of North Iraq, Kurdistan, there is thousands of people on the streets of that country at the moment with no food, nowhere to stay. And so we're trying to get, there's other agencies helping, but we're trying to get about 300 tents at the moment. We're also going to be sending in food, which we've actually sent the first money so they acquire food locally. But we're looking to acquire in bulk so we can feed more people. And then we are actually, at the moment, have our international partners who we work with closely are actually visiting neighboring countries to negotiate with them to see if we can move 10, 15, 20, 30,000 people into those countries and have the local churches take care of the people. We'll handle the actual rescue, the movement of the people out of the country.
When you say rescued, so you get them into other countries and then they get citizenship to other countries eventually.
Right. The biggest challenge we have as an organization is to get other countries to open their doors, you know, to facilitate these people. We need dozens of countries to do it. Well, at the moment, I think France and Italy and Sweden are the only ones that officially have let the door open. And obviously, you know, why isn't our president calling for an international conference to arrange for the rescue of not just the people on that big mountain, Sanjir, I think it's the Sanjir Hill or Sanjir Mountain,
right,
in northwest Iraq, you know, where the Yazidis are. But he should be calling for an international conference for the million of refugees that have been displaced in Iraq and moved into Kurdistan, how they need to be looked after and moved out of that country, right? Because, I mean, if you want to keep them there, that's fine. Then you need to send in troops, not just from America, but from France and Britain and Italy and Germany, to defeat ISIS and push them back across the Syrian border. Right, and then put a strong guard on those borders so they can't come across again. And then you can have these people return to their homes and rebuild their lives. But if you're not willing to do that, then you need to allow them to leave and get other countries to take them as refugees. Do one or the other. But at the moment, they're doing neither.
But now, you brought that up, and I was saying, when we look at Hamas and Israel, and you know, and the Palestinians never want to leave Gaza. You know, they're not running and fleeing when Israel comes in. And yet, it seems like the Christians will abandon 1,800 years of community in these places, sometimes being there for 1,800 years. So, but you're saying there's no way they can stay there unless somebody's going to actually bring in an army and protect them.
Right. I mean, the Kurds are pretty good fighters, but they don't have the weaponry. They don't have an air force. They don't have the ability to drive ISIS out the way they need to be driven out. Mm-hmm. Right. But we also, what's even more upsetting and staggering, is that we have actually found conclusive, pretty strong evidence that the people behind ISIS is the Turkish government and possibly even our own CIA in the early stages.
Well, now, that what you're just saying right there, our listeners have never heard of, and nobody's heard that I know of, but you think the Turkey government...
If you look at the history of Turkey and the Armenian genocide, right, they deny today the Armenian genocide. But we all know the facts that the Ottoman Turks are the ones that butchered 3 million Christians, 1.5 million Armenians, approximately 700,000 Chaldeans, and approximately another 700,000-800,000 Greek Orthodox.
And that
they
happened back
between
year?
1915 and 1918.
So it's been almost 100 years. But now you said something else. You think there may be some evidence that the CIA could be actually helping Turkey? Helping
I'll put it like this to you. The Benghazi Committee, the Intelligence Committee, has said, right, to the world, or they made a report, saying that Obama did nothing wrong in the Benghazi attack. There was no wrongdoing. However, the reason why there's no wrongdoing is because some of these Republicans, like Mike Rogers, who's head of the committee, right, were involved in smuggling weapons to our worst enemies. And they do not want this to come out, right, from the Intelligence Committee. Because if it does, it'll embarrass the Republicans as well as the Democrats. It will embarrass Mike Rogers as well. It will embarrass Obama. In fact, it could be criminal charges against Mike Rogers for what he did, and Obama. That's why the Intelligence Committee is whitewashed and try and put a knife in the back of Trey Gowdy.
Well, right? Wow, Keith, you're saying the Democrats and the Republicans put a knife in the back of Trey Gowdy in the Benghazi hearing. Well, we got to hear more about that, and we will. But first, let's remind our listeners, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're talking to Keith Davies of Rescuing Christians, knowing he knows what's going on in Iraq and northern Iraq. And even as we speak, he's helping out trying to save Christians and the Yazidi population. Now, let me tell you that we're glad you're listening to us. And in the second half of the show, we're going to hear more from Keith. And we're also going to hear from my friend, Pastor Clarence Parks, coming back from our interview from last week that we started. So you don't want to miss that. He has some very important things. We're going to talk about impeachment. Should President Barack Obama be impeached? Who's talking about it? We're going to talk about that to Bishop Clarence Parks. Before we get to there, let me remind you, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics is more than just a radio show. Yes, we do have a book, and you can order it. Go to the front page, go to a website, order the book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Get one for your friends. Get one for your neighbors. We appreciate those who've already ordered it. If you're in the international community outside the United States, go to Amazon.com, look up Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and order your book from Amazon. You'll be glad you did. We also want to tell our listeners, thank you for telling your friends and neighbors. Continue to tell them. As we grow with this voice of reason, you're going to be hearing things on this show you won't hear anywhere else. Can you go back to last week? Would you hear Bishop Clarence Parks speaking his heart anywhere else but right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics? I gave him the time, and I wanted him to just speak from his heart. I didn't interrupt him so he could tell us how he felt and the African-American community feels about Barack Obama. Now, we also have some shows coming up that we'll just, I'll just say, we've got some great interviews lined up, and including the one we're having today. And so we're going to go right back and let Keith explain a little bit more what's going on between Turkey, the CIA, and ISIS, the Islamic State of Syria and Iraq. I think they're calling it just Islamic State now is what they want to be called as the new caliphate. Now, Keith, tell us more about what you've discovered, you and Wally have discovered about what's going on.
Okay. If you follow the work that we do on the research, there's pretty damning evidence that this is the case. Now, as regards to Turkey, Wally just produced an article today on our website that exposes the evidence that Turkey is the evidence is mounting, based on Walid's research into the Arabic media, that Turkey is are the ones that provided the training and the weapons right to ISIS.
Wow, now that's a big charge right there, Keith. I mean, that'd be a big charge, but that's because we always look at Turkey as an ally to the United States and NATO, and yet you think that a lot of the training for ISIS actually happened in Turkey.
Well, all you have to do is look at the Bible, my friend, and it says, by peace they will deceive many. And this is what Turkey is an extremely dangerous country because it proposes peace but deceives many.
But now,
right?
What about
you've got to look at the evidence and you've got to look at what's going on behind the scenes to understand what's really going on, and you do not get that in your mainstream media. Everything is superficial news.
Well, right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, we look for those things you won't hear on the regular news. And one of the things you're mentioning, and people don't understand, that Turkey and the Kurds do not get along, and they do not want the Kurds to have an independent country. So how would that play in them helping ISIS?
Of course. I mean if Turkey was a reliable and honest ally and believed in righteousness, they would at least provide weapons to the Kurds to defeat ISIS. And the reason they don't is because they support ISIS. But they don't outwardly do so, they secretly do so. But we found the evidence that they are supporting them, right? And it can be seen on our website, shubat.com, right? On August the 14th, we produced the article so people can go and view it.
Well, I'm glad you told our listeners about that, Keith. And I do want to get back to as far as the slaughter. And these are some of the things that we've heard. Tell me if you can verify or if you know these are true, saying that children have been beheaded. Is that true? Is that a fact that we know that the ISIS has beheaded children?
Well, I'm not saying that I have said this, but there's certainly strong indications from several eyewitnesses that this happened. And it's, I think it was reported on CNN, right, and on Fox News, that this is going on. But one thing is for definitely certain, there's hundreds of thousands of people that have been murdered, there's millions that have been displaced from their homes, and they fled. And we have evidence of people being shot in the head and thrown into rivers. We've seen people
being shot. Yeah, I've seen that video.
Right, and pushed into pits with a single shot of a Kalashnikov by the hundreds. So we know these atrocities are going on, and ISIS themselves produce the videos to try and instill fear into the West and into people and intimidate people, right, into bending to Islam.
Keith, can you tell us real quick about, and I know we don't have time to go into it, but this is so, we've not seen this kind of atrocities, I don't believe, since the Holocaust of World War II. And yet we know the Muslim Brotherhood has connections to Nazi Germany and what the Nazis did. And one of the things that got the Nazis in trouble, they were such good record keepers and at the Nuremberg trials and other things that became important. But why is ISIS doing all this and they're recording it and videotaping the horrors that they're doing? Do they not think, or is there any way that an international community can have crimes against humanity and have these people charged?
Well, yes, but, you know, what people don't understand or should understand if you read the Quran and you read the Hadith, which is the life of the Prophet Muhammad, what ISIS is doing is only what the Prophet Muhammad did. He did exactly what ISIS is doing is exactly the example they're following of the Prophet Muhammad. He was in 66 battles. He killed and beheaded his enemy, any male above the age of 15. They were beheaded, and the women were put as concubines and sold into slavery or taken as wives by the leaders of Muhammad. This is exactly what ISIS is doing. It's no different from what the Prophet Muhammad did, right? And this is what people don't understand, that this is a peaceful religion that these people follow. They're only following the example of the Prophet Muhammad. That's what they're doing. And if you don't believe me, all you have to do is read history and read what the Quran says, and it says it right there. So I'm not making this stuff up. It's just there.
Tell us about, now, what are the moderate Muslims, the people who say this is the religion of peace? Are they coming together and saying this has got to stop? Are we hearing a widespread voice from the Muslim community there in the Middle East condemning ISIS?
What does the Bible say about Satan?
Well, he's a liar.
The father of lies.
Yes.
There's no such thing as moderate Islam. Now, you may find what somebody's called a moderate Muslim, but what is a moderate Muslim? A moderate Muslim is somebody, a real moderate Muslim, is somebody who does not follow the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad and does not follow the Quran, however, was born Muslim. And it was born into a Muslim family but doesn't care less about the religion of Islam, is atheist or agnostic, but happens to be an ethnic Muslim. The same way you'd find people who are born culturally Christian or culturally Jewish but don't follow their faith, right? They are, you know, are they moderate or not? They're just people who don't follow their faith. Well, you know, that's a moderate Muslim, right? But anyone Muslim who practices and prays five times a day and believes in Sharia law is not a moderate.
Well, that is Keith Davis, and he's telling us about he believes a moderate Muslim, someone that prays five times a day, is not moderate. What we do know is Christians and the Yazidi people are being slaughtered in northern Iraq. ISIS, an Islamic jihadist army, is on the move and growing, and a lot of questions, a lot of solutions need to be found. But go to the website he gave. I know Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, is doing a lot in this area. And if you're familiar with them and want to give some money, you can go to his website, Samaritan's Purse. They're helping out to help bring food and help save these Christians and Yazidi people on the run. Now, listen, I told you we got Bishop Parks is a little bit more of an interview that we started last week. And before we do that, just got a little tune we hear on the opening rant, but the rock band U2, yes, a new song. Listen to them, and we're going to end the show with our interview. Bishop Clarence Parks speaking from his heart.
I will sing a new song. that was done all over the United States, how great would we be? Well, we would be greater than what we are. We are the greatest nation in the world. Even with faults and dark past and things of that nature, we are still the greatest nation in the world.
And I believe that, and even I can say, even if our $17 trillion debt, I mean, we got a nation with economic engines that can turn this thing around and even knock that debt down if we work together.
If we would work together, exactly right. Where there's unity, there's strength.
Well, one of the things that I did want to ask you too, I know in the Republican Party or in the Tea Party field, there's so many voices saying, well, we need to impeach President Obama. And then it's funny because this week or last week I could see even in the White House talking about, well, the Republicans are talking about impeachment. And then the Republicans say, no, that's not us talking about impeachment. But it's like you said, both sides.
They're saying the Democratic Party is saying impeachment.
Well, I know it's so that they can make money and send fundraising.
But you know what I see that is?
Uh-huh.
I see people on both sides, they speak to us like we're ignorant. And it's almost like we don't know the game that they're playing.
And, say, that's
and, we,
what, yeah.
and we allow them to play it when we are the referees and we can call foul mm-hmm. when we want to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you said, a while ago when you're talking about, how both sides try to polarize the situation.
Right.
And that's just a good example we see right now where the fringe element on both sides are trying to use it for their advantage.
You're exactly right. Just like we're ignorant to the fact that we don't know what they said, mm-hmm. But now you have media and you have internet and all that stuff. You can go back and replay who said what, and all that. And so, but they look at us as we're ignorant and we are too loyal to certain things to do anything any different. And I just have a problem with that. I really do.
One of the things, Bishop, that going back, and this is what. I know some people, maybe many listeners on my show, actually, but when you say Barack Obama has been good for America, can you say that, and can you tell us why you feel that way, if you feel that way?
I do. I feel that there are some things that he's done that have been good for America, just like President Bush. I wrote an article, and I pasted it on Facebook, and I had a lot of comments on it. And I talked about just what we're talking about mm-hmm. the America insulting. It's an insult to America in two ways for people to talk about he was smuggled into America. I believe that he has been good for America. Sometimes God chooses certain people, and all of them are not. If you go through the Old Testament, everybody that God chose to actually come forth in a crisis was not Christian. Mm-hmm. Such as Cyprus and things of that their nature, but he used them for his purpose. Now right. Who am I to judge Barack Obama Christianity? He said he's a Christian, just like President Bush. I cannot judge his Christianity. He said he's a Christian, but the Bible right. says we do know by fruit. President Bush did some things that I did not like, but he did some things I did like.
Mm-hmm.
And when that guy threw, even though I'm a Democrat, when that guy threw that shoe at him uh-huh. overseas,
right?
If I had been there, I would have tried to get that guy. Because mm-hmm. President Bush was my president. Exactly right. And so I think, some people disagree. I think the Affordable Care Act was a good thing for America. It's a step, not in socialism, but it's a step and trying to help those that can't help themselves. No matter what people say, everybody is not looking for a handout, and everybody don't think that they are entitled to certain things. Some people just have a disadvantage, and some people have an advantage over others. So I think that was a good thing. I think it was a good thing for him to bail out General Motors, and they're paying the money back, and the car dealerships and things are coming back. I think that was a good thing. And so I think he's done some good things. He got Bin Laden, even though some people say he got Bin Laden. He gave the order for that man. They made a movie of it, Captain Phillips. He gave the order for them to take out those terriers that overtook that that ship.
Right.
He got another guy just a couple of days ago, and I think another thing he've done, he kept us out of war. Kept us out of war. America is war weary, and I say this: if the House want a war, if the Senate want a war, if the President want a war, put on their battle fatigues first, and let's send them to war. Mm-hmm. And stop killing our kids and our nephews and things of this nature and our nieces and all that. I just think America is war weary, and he has kept us out of war and out of other wars. And I think he's done some good things. I think he did some things that wasn't so good. I don't particularly say that I believe in gay rights thing. I don't. I believe marriage is between a man and a woman. That's what I feel. That's what I believe.
Well, Bishop Parks, appreciate you coming on the Rock Splitting Politics show, and do want to get you back sometime. But I wanted the listeners of my show to hear your point of view, because I know you've been a Barack Obama supporter in 2008, and I know just before the election 2012, I remember I seen you a couple weeks before the election. You were headed to Ohio for a revival.
Right.
And you told me, you said, Brother Ed, I believe we're going to get the president reelected. And, of course, you know, I was really hoping it wouldn't get reelected.
Right, exactly right. I think we had said we had went out to lunch together.
Right.
Exactly right.
And you were right. He got reelected. But that's what I like about our friendship. And I believe that what we need to do is see more people in America have friendships, even though we can have differences. We can love each other. I'm gonna say this,
Brother Ed, and this for your listeners. I was just at a meeting a few minutes ago, and I was telling, and this was a black guy.
Uh-huh.
I was getting ready to come and be on your show, and he went to say something negative, and I cut him off. I said, Ed Holliday, I said, he is a great man. I said, and he's my friend. I said, all the time we don't agree on everything. I said, but I know his heart. He's a Christian. He's a great man, and he's my friend. And that's it. I promise to God, and I'm not lying. He did not say nothing else. Sometimes we can cut people off at the knees if we stand up. Mm. If I had a sat there and let him get ready to say everything he was getting ready to say, he would have said it in the midst of other people, and other people probably would have thought like him. But when I said, you are a great man. There was a couple of other people that was around in the setting said, you sure right, Bishop, he's a great man. And that cut that off. It really, really did. They said the same thing I said.
Well, Bishop, I didn't know you were going to share that story. I appreciate you sharing that story. And it just, again, shows you what friendships can do. And America needs friendships like you and I have.
Right.
And it will make us a stronger and better country.
Right, right, right. So thank you for letting me be on, Brother Ed, and if you want to do this again someday, we will, okay?
All right. Well, God bless you, Bishop. You take care.
God bless you, too. You bless your family, and God bless America.
God bless America.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.